with what he said were weapons vastly more powerful than boarding passes and box cutters. The United Nations saying today it will work with Afghanistan to accommodate a request for asylum by that Afghan man who converted to Christianity. Abdul Rahman faced the death penalty for converting from Islam until a court dismissed the charges this weekend. But Islamic extremists are calling for his death anyway. A spokesman says the UN expects one of the countries interested in a peaceful solution to the case will make an offer for asylum to the 41-year-old Christian convert. Hundreds of people protested against the court decision to drop the case against him. The decision apparently came partly because officials expressed concern that Rahman was mentally unfit to face trial. An Afghan official says Rahman will be released. Prosecutors say, though, they want a doctor to examine him. George Bush renewed calls today for a guest worker program as part of the overhaul of the nation's immigration laws. This was at a naturalization ceremony for 30 new U.S. citizens. Meanwhile, the Senate Judiciary Committee did approve major immigration reform legislation. It would clear the way for millions of undocumented workers to seek U.S. citizenship without having to first leave the country. The committee also voted to strip out proposed criminal penalties for residents found to be in this country illegally. Those sanctions were favored in the House bill. Committee Chairman Arlen Specter voted for the bill, but he said some of the provisions could be changed by the full Senate. From Washington to L.A., thousands continued to protest the immigration reform ideas. In Washington, about 100 demonstrators wore handcuffs on Capitol Hill. In L.A., hundreds of students walked out of high schools. Hundreds more teenagers left high schools in Dallas, and protesters in Detroit converged on a federal building. This is Air America Radio News.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Say welcome back, Mike.
Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you very much. It is good to be back. Big thanks to my good friend Peter Werby, who filled in for me for a week from exciting and beautiful downtown Detroit, Michigan. Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it very much. We have something that I think you're going to find kind of interesting tonight. We, all of us, myself included, we have very shortened memories in this country. Our culture is designed to either eliminate memory or to keep it very short. Not unlike Winston Smith throwing things down the memory hole. And in this society, in this culture, in this time, it's done less directly and more overwhelmingly. That's what the main function of media right now is, to make us forget. We've talked about this before. So since you and I have, by necessity almost, short attention, well, not attention spans, but short memories, we're going to play something for you tonight, a series of quotes by George W. Bush himself. Right around the time of the meeting with Tony Blair that once again has resurfaced in today's New York Times. Now, this was the so-called Downing Street memo. The information showed up in the popular press a couple of months ago as a result of being published in a book. But now the entire memo is out there, and once again, it has resurfaced in the mainstream media, at least in the New York Times. It was interesting to me tonight to watch CBS News, how CBS News handled it. They had someone substituting for Bob Schieffer. And when this particular story came up, the anchor referred to it as Mr. Bush getting wrong intelligence. And based on the wrong intelligence, Mr. Bush made these a series of wrong decisions. And I swear to you, you know, I usually don't throw things at the television. I don't. I just look at it and kind of shake my head. But tonight, when that occurred, I wanted to smash the television. Actually, what I wanted to do was to call CBS News, a lot of good that would have done, and said, hey, you know, your anchor and your Iraq correspondent who was reporting on the slaughter in that country today both got it wrong, deliberately so, and you know they got it wrong, and your writers who wrote that script deliberately got it wrong, and your executive producer got it wrong, and your managing editor got it wrong, and all of you got it wrong, not because you're stupid asses, but because you all conspire to get it wrong. But the Times came as close as any part of the mainstream media in this morning's edition in reporting once again the so-called Downing Street memos. So we are, you know, call it memo gate, I don't care what you call it, I call it murderous war, impeachable offense. Something, this bastard Bush should be dragged out of office, tried, sentenced if he's convicted, and disposed of in a manner in which the Constitution says he should be disposed of. For those of you at the National Security Agency listening to the program, I'm referring to legal disposition. Oh, Jesus. So what we're going to do is get into the Wayback Machine. Coming up here momentarily, I'm not going to make you wait for this tonight. We're going to play for you some of the comments Bush made just prior to that meeting with Tony Blair on, what was it, Kathy, July 31st? I'm sorry, January 31st, 2003. Some comments this murderous son of a bitch made, that would be Bush, prior to that meeting with his lapdog, Tony Blair, the poodle. Then some comments that were made immediately after the meeting with Tony Blair. And then a comment from Hans Blix when Bush ordered the removal of the weapons inspectors. And then finally, what we're also going to play for you tonight, coming up here in the next half hour, is what we call shock and awe. It's 6 minutes of bombing of Baghdad. March 19th, 2003. It's the actual sound of the bombing of the city of Baghdad 3 years and 8 days ago. Now, had we not been on vacation on the 19th, we would have played it for you then. But better late than never. So stick around. This is coming up momentarily. These quotes we're going to play for you from the January 31st, 2003 Bush-Blair meeting before our illegal invasion of Iraq clearly show that Bush was determined to attack this country despite any weapons or any UN resolutions or any connection to 9/11 or any innocent lives lost, etc., etc. And yet he's still not impeached. The son of a bitch still sits there in the Oval Office and he's still not impeached. And then a little bit later on the program tonight, we'll cover Karl Rove's latest wedge issue. Actually, it's an old issue, just repackaged for the upcoming election. I'm talking about the immigration reform. That is the latest bright and shiny distraction from Bush's killing machine. And the latest attempt to give the neocons something to drive their knuckle-dragging base rushing to the voting booths again this fall. Those dirty immigrants! So all in all, we have an action-packed program for you tonight if you want to stick around for it. If you don't, I understand. A couple of items here. Air America Phoenix is going back on the air. Is it next month? April 3rd, right, Kathy? Jeff Farias? I should know his name, and I don't. There's an email circulating around. This came Saturday past. Thanks to all the local listeners and advertisers who contributed money, we have bought Air America Radio Phoenix back. It will be on different stations, but we have thwarted the Christian Coalition and are back on the air April 3rd. And that's for local folks. For everybody out there who contributed to this, this message, it's edited. Friends, I come bearing good news. We are proud to announce that starting April 3rd, Air America Phoenix will return to the airwaves. Our new home is 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be carrying all of your favorite Air America personalities plus Dr. Mike Newcomb in the morning. Thanks to all of you across the country who contributed to this effort. This has been a remarkable effort and perhaps the most intense 3 weeks of my life. We are not out of the woods yet. We need to raise more funds to finish paying the lease. We'll be continuing the Pixel Drive in hopes to offset some of the money we've had to borrow to get on the air. And Jeff is asking for folks to continue. If you have already, okay, tell your friends about it. But continue to contribute. Go to SaveAmericaPhoenix.com. SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com. So that is good news. And it's my understanding we will be carried live. Is that right, Kathy? Not tape delayed. So we'll be on, what, 7 o'clock there? Jeez. The other astonishing piece of information, I got this email a couple hours ago. It's from Cassie. Remember Cassie, the 14-year-old young woman who called from North Carolina? I believe it was North Carolina. Did she ever? She didn't tell us the city. She told us the state. Whose sole means of support was her older brother, who was in the reserve of the National Guard. He was going to be sent to Iraq. And Cassie was going to be forced to go to foster care. The military, nobody was listening to this couple. The mother, Cassie, and the soldier's mother was in jail on a drug charge. The father was not in the picture. Cassie was very, very cool and contained and controlled when she called, but you could tell she was very, very upset. She was going to be placed in foster care, and she was hoping that some of her friend's parents might take her in while her brother was sent to kill and perhaps die for George Bush. Well, we have an update for you, and I think you're going to like it. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Old Mary Jane, she step on a train and find the city light. Get it inside, smooth the tide, and taste it all right. Back on her shoulder, from the cold, down by the metal track. She saw it outshine, it's water in her mind, and she'd never go back. She don't mind the late night radio.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Hank Montenegro of Morganville, New Jersey wrote, "Dear Mr. Oreck, ever since we purchased your 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum, my wife has been in heaven. Recently, she panicked, believing she'd broken the vacuum. I contacted your customer service department, and after a few questions, I was sent a replacement part at no charge. The machine is as good as new. Try my 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Flying Monkey Right Blues, here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. All right, I got this email from Cassie a couple hours ago. Hi, Mike. Hi, Kathy. Hi, all. Wonderful soup for tremendous news. My brother heard today that he will not have to go to Iraq. He will keep the same job on the same base, but report to the base administration and not the armored division like before. We will stay in the apartment, and it will be very much better. This is a permanent change for as long as he's in the National Guard. Mike, several of your listeners helped me to write letters to my senators and congressmen and governor asking for help. Also, it turns out that one of the high-rank officers on the base heard your show when I called in a few weeks ago. This is the letter they helped me write. And then she has it here. Thanks so much to you and all your listeners who gave us help and who supported us and who prayed that we would be able to stay together. Cassie. Well, I am just... I'm just deeply touched to have been a part of that, the small part. It was you folks in the audience who suggested. I mean, I got a bunch of emails in here that you asked me to forward to Cassie, which I did. And apparently you all really came to her assistance. And I'm just very, very touched when something like that happens. These two kids, and I think I have a right, even though he's in the National Guard, to call him a kid. He's only 20, and Cassie's 14. On their own, and desperately in need of help, not knowing what to do, and called a radio talk show. And all we did was put it on the air, and you folks responded. So, thank you. Wow. That's just good news. I mean, the Air America Phoenix is good news, but Cassie's story is even better. Now, as the Times reported again today, in the weeks before Bush, in his insanity, decided to invade Iraq, and the U.S. and Britain were pretending to press for a second U.N. resolution condemning Iraq, Bush's public ultimatum to Saddam Hussein was fairly blunt. His ultimatum was disarm or face war. Now, the situation, of course, is that Bush knew he was disarmed. So did Tony Blair. I mean, this is I'm not trying to cut Blair any slack, but I have nothing to do with Blair. You folks who listen to this program in the U.K., you ought to throw his ass out of office, too. But as the Times report, behind closed doors, Bush was certain that war was inevitable. Why? Because he was going to start it, no matter what. It was during a private two-hour meeting in the Oval Office on January 31, 2003, he made clear to Blair that he, Bush, was determined to invade Iraq without the second resolution, or even if international arms inspectors failed to find WMDs. Didn't matter. Now, it was stamped extremely sensitive. It's a five-page memo which was circulated among a handful of Blair's senior aides and had not been made public until now. Several highlights were first published in that book, Lawless World, which was written by a British lawyer and international law professor, Philippe Sands. And in early February this year, Channel 4 in London first broadcast several excerpts from the memo. But what it shows now is... there is no equivocation here. George W. Bush took the United States into a war based on false pretenses, a war in which anywhere from 20 to 100,000 Iraqis had been murdered, 2,300 American soldiers had been murdered, officially, probably more than that had been murdered, all as a result of the actions taken by George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld. Now this is serious beyond belief. It really is. Even right wingers, conservatives, Bush supporters, fake Christians, the rest of you swine who are so different from us normal people, but even you swine there must be something inside of you that gets your attention when you realize what this murderous son of a bitch who's pretending to be the president of the United States has done. Even among you swine, surely it must make you bump up against each other and oink and snort and rub your snouts against each other's rear ends or something. Surely there must be a reaction from the swine. That's what I would think. But given the fact that the swine, especially the swine in the House and the Senate, are absolutely silent on removing this murderous man from office, would lead me to believe that the swine don't care. They're swine, after all. Pigs. Unclean. We'll continue this emotional tirade when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The question unasked. Won't you join in and fight with the Allies? What could we say? We're only 25 years old.
With 25 sweet summers and hot fires in the cold.
This kind of life makes that violence unthinkable.
We'd like to play hockey. Have kids and grow old.
Fighters for Texaco.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL.
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. All right. I want to get into these sound bites now from 3 years ago. Then the sound of the first 6 minutes of the destruction of Baghdad by the psychopathic bastard who squats in the White House and his lapdog in the UK, Tony Blair. But first, Jesse over at TVNewsLies.org, his blog today is pertinent to what we're doing here in this segment of the program. Listen up. Jesse writes, so it took several weeks, not a year this time, for the New York Times to print information related to George W. Bush breaking the law. Yes, the New York Times, even though they ignored the first documents indicating such, finally reported about the second smoking gun memo indicating that the Bush administration intended on going to war with Iraq, regardless if there was a legitimate reason for going to war. They even planned to provoke Iraq into a war. And, of course, what Jesse's referring to there is assassination attempt on Saddam Hussein, painting American airplanes with logos of the UN and sending one up as a target to see if Saddam would shoot it down. Real evil stuff. Back to Jesse. Now get this. The entire American corporate media ignored the first smoking gun memo indicating that George W. Bush lied to Congress, to the American people, to the world, and to the U.S. military, and started a war based on lies. A second piece of evidence surfaces. The New York Times ignores it for several weeks and then finally reports it. The result of this is an echo chamber of silence by the rest of the media. The memo in question is possibly the strongest piece of physical evidence ever produced indicating a high crime by an American president other than the mountains of evidence of 9/11 complicity by the Bush administration. However, the 9/11 evidence has not yet been approved for acceptance by the corporate media, so let's just pretend that this memo indicates the strongest evidence of a high crime committed by a president to date. And what is happening? The rest of the media is waiting for their marching orders. They're all remaining silent until they receive instructions to proceed with their reporting. Even if the delay is only a day, the coordinated story has to be approved so that there are no contradictions when the corporate media unit brainwashed the public with the exact version of the story they want us to believe. The coordinated actions by the many arms of the corporate media monster should be quite obvious to you by now. The corporate media is not controlled by anyone. They are the tool of the controllers. Until we realize this, we will continue to fall prey to the controllers. The evidence is there, and you can see it every single day. With every coordinated, timed, and choreographed information dissemination event, the single point of media control becomes more visible to those who choose to open their eyes. Think about it. And Jesse's blog is under the heading, "So You Still Think the Press is Free." You know, I like I said earlier, I watched ABC and CBS tonight, and I was astonished. CBS reported this as though Bush had gotten bad information. All right. This is before the January 31st Blair meeting. This is from January 22nd, 2003. This is Bush. He's at a trucking company in St. Louis, Missouri, but he is laying out his plan for war, unprovoked, unnecessary, a murderous attack on, yes, a helpless population. Here's Bush.
Mr. Saddam Hussein must disarm. And the first step of that disarmament was for him to make a declaration of his weapons. 12,000 pages of deceit and deception were placed at the UN Security Council. We just discovered undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
Yeah, laugh.
It's incredibly troubling and disturbing for a man not disarming. He wants to play a game. He's interested in playing hide and seek in a huge country.
Now, what you're listening
to, Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
What you're listening to is a lying son of a bitch standing there. That's right. Let me say it again. Get your kids away from the radio if you don't like the language. A lying, murderous son of a bitch standing there laughing. We just discovered undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq. A lie. Now, the 12,000 pages of deceit and deception placed at the UN, that was the report that the Saddam Hussein government gave to the UN that laid out in detail everything that had happened to their chemical, biological, nuclear weapons programs, which they had, thanks to the United States, prior to 1991. And what the report, 12,000 pages, laid out was, okay, here's what we've done with it. What does Bush call it? 12,000 pages of deceit and deception while he stands there up to his neck in deceit and deception. All right, same day, same place, more tough talk on Saddam's deceit.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming like the world has told him he must do.
The world?
He's a dangerous man with dangerous weapons. He's a danger to America. He is adept at deception and delays and denying. He asked for more time so he can give the so-called inspectors more runaround.
So-called inspectors. Now, what you're listening to is an evil, murderous son of a bitch who has taken over, in a bloodless coup, the government of the United States. You are listening to him lie to the American public, to the world, to the military. You are listening to him standing there when he knows this stuff is not true. Here he is again.
Should that path be forced upon us, there will be serious consequences.
Forced on us?
There will be serious consequences for the dictator in Iraq. Should we be forced into action, there will be serious consequences for the Iraqi people. And that's freedom.
Oh, my God. Do you have any doubt that this man belongs in some sort of an institution, heavily medicated? All right. Immediately after Blair and Bush met, this is from that Friday, January 31st, 2003. And they had their meeting. Bush and Blair. This is where Bush and Blair sat there and laid out the terms of the deception that they were about to perpetrate on the rest of the world. Here's Bush.
First of all, to answer the first one part of your question, is this needs to be resolved quickly. Should the United Nations decide to pass a second resolution, it'd be welcomed if it is yet another signal that we're intent upon disarming Saddam Hussein. But 1441 gives us the authority to move without any second resolution. Any attempt to drag the process on for months will be resisted by the United States.
I don't know how to comment on this because I get furious. And I could say things that will cause me to not just lose my license to be on this radio network or my employment, but also might get me put in prison. But you can draw your own conclusions. This is at the press conference, right after the meeting with Blair, where it had already been predetermined to attack Iraq. This is a joint press conference. Now, the next question, a reporter said, Mr. President, is Secretary Powell going to provide the undeniable proof before the UN of Iraq's guilt that so many critics are calling for?
Well, all due in modesty, I thought I did a pretty good job myself of making it clear that he's not disarming and why he should disarm. Secretary Powell will make a strong case about the danger of an armed Saddam Hussein. He will make it clear that Saddam Hussein is fooling the world, or trying to fool the world.
Listen to the lies.
He will make it clear that Saddam is a menace to peace in his own neighborhood.
Listen.
And he will also talk about Al-Qaeda links. Links that really do portend a danger for America and for Great Britain, anybody else who loves freedom.
Listen to this. Are you listening? Are you listening? Even you swine. Even you swine. No, I'm not Ed Schultz. I'm not going to talk to you swine about hunting and about drinking beer to try to get you to listen to the truth. Are you listening? Unbelievable. Do I have time for the last one? Okay, we'll save the last one until right after the break, where Hans Blix presents his final UN report to the Security Council. Are you listening to this? Do you understand this? I mean, I know normal people do, but you swine, do you swine understand this? You piggish, pink-skinned, filthy, lard-ass swine that keep sending Bush and these Republicans back into power. Do you understand? Do you understand? Or do you not even care?
And he lies, and he lies. He just lies, and he lies, and he lies, and he lies. He can lie any time. He can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. He lies, and he lies, and he lies. Too many believe him. They're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies, and he lies, and he lies. Lies, lies, lies.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
defining war on our terms. For the sake of peace in this world, the United States must maintain every advantage in weaponry.
And then finally, Hans Blix. After Bush called the inspectors out, insisted the UN inspectors get out of Iraq because an attack was imminent, Hans Blix, addressing the UN Security Council, said the following.
I naturally feel sadness that 3.5 months of work carried out in Iraq have not brought the assurances needed about the absence of weapons of mass destruction or other prescribed items in Iraq, that no more time is available for our inspections, and that armed action now seems imminent. At the same time, I feel a sense of relief that it was possible to withdraw yesterday all the United Nations international staff. I note that the Iraqi authorities gave full cooperation to achieve this.
And shortly after Hans Blix said that, George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld unleashed what they referred to as shock and awe on the city of Iraq.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The Bush administration is starting to contradict George W. Bush. It sounds improbable, I know. Bush is, after all, the second most powerful person in Washington. But his administration is sending mixed messages when it comes to the war in Iraq. Last week, Bush dropped a bombshell by admitting that U.S. troops would not leave Iraq under his presidency. Critics of the war had suspected as much, but it was nice to get some confirmation from the commander-in-chief. Fellow Republicans, facing an already sour political climate, reacted with alarm. White House aides reassured the public the president didn't really mean what he said. On the Sunday talk shows, the ubiquitous Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, predicted a significant drawdown of American forces over the next year. Presumably, she's speaking for her boss. That is, until Bush takes another question. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
Right now?
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Secretary of Defense says the U.S. deserves a grade of D+, or maybe even a D, for the way it makes the case to the rest of the world on the war on terror. This was in a question and answer session at the Army War College in Pennsylvania. Donald Rumsfeld says fighting a global battle of ideas is not easy. And he admits the U.S. has not found the formula for countering messages from extremists. This was his first visit to the War College as defense secretary. Rumsfeld also said al-Qaeda and other Islamic extremists may be the most brutal enemy the U.S. has ever encountered. In reference to the September 11th attacks, Rumsfeld said terrorists harbor a desire to kill millions with what he said were weapons vastly more powerful than boarding passes and box cutters. The United Nations saying today it will work with Afghanistan to accommodate a request for asylum by that Afghan man who converted to Christianity. Abdul Rahman faced the death penalty for converting from Islam until a court dismissed the charges this weekend. But Islamic extremists are calling for his death anyway. A spokesman says the UN expects one of the countries interested in a peaceful solution to the case will make an offer for asylum to the 41-year-old Christian convert. Hundreds of people protested against the court decision to drop the case against him. The decision apparently came partly because officials expressed concern that Rahman was mentally unfit to face trial An Afghan official says Rahman will be released. Prosecutors say, though, they want a doctor to examine him. George Bush renewed calls today for a guest worker program as part of the overhaul of the nation's immigration laws. This was at a naturalization ceremony for 30 new U.S. citizens. Meanwhile, the Senate Judiciary Committee did approve major immigration reform legislation. It would clear the way for millions of undocumented workers to seek U.S. citizenship without having to first leave the country. The committee also voted to strip out proposed criminal penalties for residents found to be in this country illegally. Those sanctions were favored in the House bill. Committee Chairman Arlen Specter voted for the bill, but he said some of the provisions could be changed by the full Senate. From Washington to L.A., thousands continued to protest the immigration reform ideas.
It's about 7 past the hour. Now, 3 days after the shock and awe, a tiny bit of which we played for you right before the break, was affected by the Bush crime family. Bush was caught by reporters as he came back from Camp David. This is 4 days later, Sunday, March 23rd. And this is his reaction to the death and destruction that he and his criminal enterprise used against the people of Baghdad over the weekend. Listen to him.
I am pleased with the progress that we're making in the early stages of the war to rid Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction and to free the Iraqi people from the clutches of a brutal dictatorship. It is evident that it's going to take a while to achieve our objective, but we're on course, we're determined, and we're making good progress.
It's just astonishing. Nothing's going to happen in this country. But isn't there an agency of some foreign government? Is there not some mechanism in the United Nations to charge this murderous bastard with a war crime, a crime against humanity? What does it take? I'm serious. What does it take? Here he is again. A reporter asked him a question. This is in regard to Americans who were seized and taken as prisoners, right after shock and awe. The reporter says, "What do you know about the prisoners? Anything, sir?"
I've been briefed. I'm constantly briefed by the Pentagon and through the National Security Office. I don't know all the details yet. I do know that we expect them to be treated humanely, just like we'll treat any prisoners of theirs that we capture humanely.
Oh, my God.
I think it's an interesting contrast that a lot of their soldiers welcome American troops. They're surrendering gleefully and happily.
They're surrendering gleefully and happily. I do know we expect them to be treated humanely, just like we'll treat any prisoners of theirs that we capture humanely. Jesus Christ. Now listen to this one and tell me it's not about the oil. And not only does this demonstrate that of course it is, even a right-winger like Ted Koppel admits it. Everyone admits it. But here's his attack on a country, and the shock and awe was the city of Baghdad. I think I said the city of Iraq, the city of Baghdad, this murderous attack. And what we played for you was about 4 minutes of the sound. But listen to what Bush's concern is. The reporter said, "Mr. President, do you know at this point, can you tell Americans, I mean, is the war progressing the way you expected it to?"
"We've made good progress. One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields."
"Oh."
"As you all remember, we had discussions about that. There was a lot of speculation about whether or not coalition forces would be able to get to the southern oil fields in time before so that Saddam Hussein wouldn't destroy them. As a matter of fact, I had frequently talked about the southern oil fields, or oil fields in general, in my declaratory policy. Tommy Franks put a plan in place that moved on those oil fields quickly, and at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us."
Jesus. There's your Christian man for you. Hey, swine! Hey, you right-wingers, you Republicans, you Bush supporters, You still listening to the program tonight? How do you people manage to insist in your hallucinatory religious beliefs that George W. Bush is a Christian? How do you do that? Don't answer. I really don't give a damn, frankly. But the question pops up into my head. Here's a guy who has committed a war crime not unlike what Hitler committed against the Poles. Just an absolute rapacious, ravenous, bared fangs attack against a country that did nothing except have the misfortune of having a dictator in place supported for 30 years by the United States of America. But I sometimes wonder, how do you right-wingers do it? That's why I insist you all are insane. You are mad. You're like this little jackass Sean Hannity. You're all insane. You have to be mad. In order to go about your business knowing that George Bush is talking immigration policy, as though he really means anything that he says. That George Bush is talking about there's no civil war in Iraq. That George Bush is talking about bringing freedom to the Iraqi people. That George Bush went to such elaborate, carefully constructed lies and deceptions to the American people, to the world, and then launched an attack against a country that couldn't defend itself in the least. I just don't know how you swine do it. I really don't. How you're able to contain inside your heads any kind of belief in this murderous bastard, this war criminal, and still maintain that somehow you follow the teachings of Jesus. How do you do that? How do you do that? Man. We got time for a phone call here, Catherine? All right, let's do that. Jerky's calling, our at-large bureau chief, checking in from God knows where. Hey, Jerky.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Good, good. Hey, I was just wondering, what do you think would happen if George Bush, one of these days, you know, he's walking out to the helicopter and he's passing the press and some of his meds interact badly and he kind of snaps and jumps into the crowd and just kind of rips the throat out of one of the reporters and kills him?
Nothing, nothing.
And then, like, the Secret Service kind of hustle up and pick him up and drag his bloody, you know, personhood into the helicopter and they fly off. What would happen? What would be the process of getting this guy to justice? Like, would the police, would the Washington D.C. police have jurisdiction?
No. This has come up a couple of times. According to the U.S. Constitution, there's only one vehicle for arresting the behavior of a president of the United States, and that's impeachment. Hold on a second, Jerky. Let me do a break here. We'll come back. But as far as I know, that's the only. I'm not saying he's immune to criminal prosecution, but I think he's immune until he's forced out of office, and that takes impeachment and conviction. Hold on. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
This is my private place. Everything is neat and clean.
The world has waited a long time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm. He'll say, I'm disarming, after he said he has no arms.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors. And better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. Let's go back to Jerky, our bureau chief at large, who has checked in from God knows where. All right, where were we, Jerky?
Well, I had asked you that rhetorical throat-ripping question.
Oh, that's right. Bush grabs a reporter at the rope line, rips his throat out, blood all over the place. They speared him away on the helicopter. Now what? I don't think now what anything.
Yeah. I of course it was a rhetorical question, and it occurs to me that with the pace of things happening as they're happening now, you'd have to be on the air 24 hours a day, basically, to be able to cover it all.
Oh, I know, it's insane.
But I specifically thought of that question in reference to the wiretapping scandal, which has quieted down to the point of inaudibility lately.
Right.
And, you know, I've just been fascinated by the evolutionary process that so-called scandal has gone through since it broke in late 2005. And you can see, you know, how basically they went through the motions. They the Bush, the White House, they went through, they tried to justify and even though their justifications were absolutely ludicrous, like this unitary executive theory privilege that basically says that the president, well, it's the old Nixon saying, you know, it's not illegal if the president does it.
Right.
And they had actually had Alberto Gonzalez go in front of the Senate and say that. And I think a lot of that was a stalling tactic, basically. But it's so depressing to just watch the news. I'm amazed that anybody even watches the news anymore these days, that anybody's following it, you know?
I know. Sometimes I am compelled to turn on these programs, these news shows, especially the network news programs, to see how in 90 seconds or a minute and a half, 2 minutes or 2 minutes, 30 seconds, they're going to report the full existence now, not from a book, but the full existence of these memos that show that at the very same time that Bush was talking about how no president wants to go to war, the son of a bitch had already made a decision to go to war. And Bush, who was telling the world that it was Saddam Hussein who chose war by refusing to disarm, when 12,000 pages, that, by the way, somebody sent me an email reminding me that Condoleezza Rice ran to the UN, snarfed up the 12,000 pages, and I believe immediately removed 3,000 of them before they could be photocopied and passed out. So when you think that this man, this administration, has committed these acts, I don't know where I'm living, Jerky. I'm not living in the United States of America that I think I'm living in.
It's amazing. You know, a friend of mine emailed me this week, and he said he was trying to put together a list of all the Bush scandals since he first came into office to post to one of the political boards that's a mixed board. You know, it's got right-wingers and left-wingers, which means it's more right-wing because there's, you know, they like to just post the same propaganda over and over again. So my friend wrote me and asked me to, you know, said, you're the guy to go to, give me a list of every scandal. And I started trying to put together a list, starting with, you know, the China spy plane bumped out of the sky scandal, and the sub, remember, this is all pre-911, the sub, when the Texas oil millionaires were on that American military sub, and they wanted to have a little bit of excitement, so the captain let them do a crash surface, and they, you know, destroyed a Japanese fishing vessel and killed a bunch of students.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And all the, you know, the stuff that goes under the radar, like telling the UN they wouldn't be paying for their family planning stuff anymore if they even so much as mentioned abortion. Or,
right.
And I just started, and I didn't even get to 9/11, and I had like 12 pages worth of stuff, and I had worked on it for a couple hours, and I had to stop, and I was like, damn, what's going to happen when I hit 911? You know, I'm going to be on this for a week.
It's incredible, and I understand your rhetorical question. I don't know. Bush could murder. Bush could walk out of the White House tomorrow with a Glock. And a couple, one in each hand, a couple of 9mm, and just start opening fire and killing people left and right. And nothing would happen. Nobody. You know what would happen? The Secret Service would run out and surround him with their weapons pointed outward.
Yeah. And not Hannity and Limbaugh would say, well, those people needed killing. They were you know, terrorist sympathizers, and it's about time we started playing hardball and blah, 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 and the AM radio waves would be filled with that crap, except for Air America, of course.
Yeah.
And George Will would be saying how it was a brave and resolute move on his part to start, you know, the war at home. I don't know. It's just sickening.
It is. Thanks, Jerky.
Thank you, Mike.
Stay in touch.
Put an ear to the ground, put the words in my mouth. All the sideways looks never mattered until now. It's a long ride, it's a downside, is what it's all about. And I think that you better sit this out. In the big light, it's all those everything is hanging upon your lips again.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission. Creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
We'll be right back.
And now, a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. A little bit earlier tonight, I shared with you the information that Cassie, the young 14-year-old young woman who called this program a couple of weeks ago with what seemed to be just an unsolvable problem. I read the letter from her, the email from her. The problem, very briefly, was her 20-year-old brother, who was her sole support, her sole family. Her father's been gone forever, and her mother's in jail. And her brother in a National Guard unit was to be deployed to Iraq April 18th, and Cassie, the young woman's name, freaked and called us, called the program. As Jesus, I would freak too. I mean, when you're 14, come on, please. And just ask for help. Explain the situation. Ask for help. And all I could do was put this young woman on the air and let her tell the story. And then just, you know, ask, anybody got any ideas? Well, you all really, 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 really came through. And I read the email from Cassie. Let me read from her brother. Hi, I am Andy, Cassie's older brother. We are both truly grateful for all of the help you all provided. In addition to the letters you helped my sister write, the elected officials also got many letters from Cassie's teachers, former teachers, and her counselor. My lieutenant insisted today that my reassignment was due to my request last October, but an email from one of the officials on the base seemed to imply that it was Cassie's appearance on the radio and the letters she sent. All of you have helped to save a family and possibly save my life, my health, and my future. Cassie is happy that I'm not leaving soon and that I will be at her eighth grade graduation. But I'm looking far down the line, and I'm grateful to all of you for saving the rest of her childhood. With humble gratitude for all you have done, Andy. Now, this was sent to seven or eight people, of whom Kathy and I are listed in the list of people. We're copied. So it's not directed to me. Please understand that. This is directed to you folks. And like I said, before we went on vacation, before Kathy and I went to Tampa, we must have forwarded, what, Kathy, about 20 emails to Cassie. And then there were many, many more. And while we were gone, my email account went up to 1,000. And this damn AOL thing wouldn't take him any more than 1,000. I have no idea how many of you wrote to me and got your mail returned. Because while we were gone, I just didn't go online. I just didn't do anything except hang out with the kids and the grandkids. So, but you folks solved it. Now, some of you came up with a letter for Cassie to send to the senators in her state, the representative in her district, and the governor of her state. And here's what it said. Dear Senator, and I'm going to say blank at the appropriate spot because there's no point revealing any of these people's names. Dear Senator Blank, I do not want to have to live with a foster family to fight the war on terror, but it looks likely that I might have to. My name is Cassandra Blank, and my brother is Andrew Blank, and then gives his rank and serial number. He is stationed with the Blank Unit in Blank. I am 14 years old and an honor student in the 8th grade at Blank Middle School. My brother is my only legal guardian because our mother is in jail for 5 more years and we have not seen our absentee father in over 10 years. I have no other relatives or family. Andrew is just 20 years old and will be 21 in April. He and I have a really tight bond. There's a very high level of trust between us. And he has been a great help to me during these very difficult times of adjustment after my mother was arrested. I do not know any other relatives, and there's no one else available whom I can trust implicitly to give me the guidance I need during my adolescent years. Please help arrange for him to stay back and work with the units stationed in Blank. Until October 2005, my brother was in the Blank Armored Division of the National Guard and Reserves. Because he is my sole guardian, his commanding officers reassigned him to another unit so he would not have to deploy to Iraq. But now he's been told that his current unit will be deployed on April 18, and I request that he be reassigned to another homeland unit. Please let him stay so that we can stay together as a family. If he goes to Iraq, I will be left with absolutely no one and forced to go to foster care. I will have to leave my school, my teachers, and all my classmates and have to live with a stranger in a strange new place. I don't know what I'm going to do. My brother can fight the war on terror on the home front with the other reserve troops at blank base. Protecting the homeland from terrorism and natural disasters is just as critical as serving in Iraq, and I have no one else to take care of me. All we need to keep our family together is your help. Please work with us to have my brother reassigned to a homeland support unit. Thank you and God bless. And that's signed Cassandra Elizabeth Blank. And that was the letter that you all helped her write. And she sent to whomever she sent it to, along with support letters from her her teachers, her former teachers, her school counselor, according to her brother Andy. And Andy has been reassigned where he will serve as per his contract with the U.S. military. But his little sister, 14-year-old Cassie, will not see her last relative taken from her. So to you folks who did whatever you did, I'm not amazed. I mean, I understand the dedication of some of you people to justice and truth and decency. And but I really do feel humbled by all this to have been a little link in the chain. And again, the only thing that we did here was to take Cassie's call. That's it. And chat. And you all did it. And I am just absolutely give me a cliche, Kathy. Blown away. amazed.
No, blown away would be fitting with the shock and awe theme,
yeah,
of the program
true.
That we have going.
God, yeah. Wrong cliche. Anyway, so that's the letter from Cassie and her brother Andrew. That story deserves some kind of national attention, doesn't it? I mean, one kid, one 14-year-old kid, I mean, I refer to her as young woman, which she is, but come on, 14-year-old kid, 20-year-old brother, and a bunch of people listening to a talk radio program step in via email. Nobody got together here, you know, just via email and work this out for this kid. Good for you, Cassie. Good for you, Andrew. And again, I'm amazed at the power of righteousness that some of you people have. I mean, you really do. It's incredible. Back to some phone calls here. Who do we have? How about Herb in Mississippi, who I think had probably had a part in all this? Hey, Herb, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, it's nice to have you back, buddy.
Thank you.
We missed y'all, though. Let's not degrade the job that Peter did. He did an excellent job, and we appreciated him.
Peter's my man.
Well, I didn't do much on Cassie. I just, you know, offered my help. I don't think that it was a whole lot of help, but I'm glad we got it done. You know, I think it's important that we do what we can in situations like that. We can't just leave people hanging. You know, that's not the American way.
Well, I noticed your name was on this email as one of the people that got this email. So you and five or six other people. So I have a feeling that you were the ones that helped her get this letter written. I mean, a lot of people, I forwarded 20, 25 emails, but a lot of people worked on this one way or another. And I'm just amazed.
There was a lot of work on it. A lot of people did a lot of good, and Cassie is just an amazing young lady. Young woman. I talked to her through email, and I've got to say, she just impressed me. I just hope one day she'll get a college education and she'll make a difference in this world. You know, that's what, it's, what I think I can see in her.
Well, I'll bet she will get that college education. Her brother in his email said that she's an honor student. She didn't mention that when she talked with us, but she's an honor student. And if she goes to school in North Carolina, there are programs available in that state for students like Cassie. That will ensure that she gets a good education if that's what she wants to do.
Well, Mike, can I change it to another subject?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Sure.
I want to talk about the Katrina relief some.
Sure.
If you don't mind. You know, my sister lost her home.
Yes.
And she's still living in a tent as of this moment.
Jesus.
But I found out that in about 2 weeks she's going to have the walls on her house.
Mm-hmm.
And the roof up, and she might be able to move into her house. Of course, we're 2 months away from hurricane season starting over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have...
Hold it right there, Herb. I got to do a break here. Hold it right there. We'll pick it up with the story on your sister. So hold on just a second. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
What do I do when my love is away? How do I feel at the end of the day?
Are you sad 'cause you're on your own?
I tell you, don't be sad no more. Gonna get down and I'm afraid.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. We're talking with Herb, who lives in Mississippi. He and his various members of the family were utterly wiped out by Katrina. And we're just talking about your sister. Now, pick it up there, Herb.
Okay, yes. She's was telling me this weekend that that it is really unbelievable how bad things are progressing down there. And the woman I live with, she has cancer, and she had surgery, and they got it. Now it's a matter of treatment, and she's having to go to the coast starting the 31st for some treatments down there on another problem. And I'm hoping to go myself and see what's going on down there. But the nurses that I talked to down there, and these are the nurses in the clinic, said that the recovery is just almost non-existent. Wow. People, the outsiders are coming in. They're selling drugs to the children. The groups that are coming in are just vicious, mean, cold-hearted type. It's just a crying shame.
Now you're talking about the people who are supposed to be down there helping with the reconstruction?
Right. It is just ungodly, Mike. I didn't realize it was that bad until my sister and I got to talking a little bit, and I started asking her some questions. Some things you just don't want to talk about, but I finally broke down and talked about. Mm-hmm. And she told me, and the nurses at the clinic told me, that it is just so unbelievable just exactly how poor these people are doing at reconstruction. They're running people off their land, it's the land grab, there's a lot of cruelty, but arrests have tripled, there's more people in jail, there was a murder in the jail not long ago that's being investigated, and the sheriff won't release the information on it. I mean, it's
like anarchy in South Mississippi then, right?
Yes, it is. And,
where's the governor? Where's Haley Barbour on all this?
You know, that's the funny thing. He's running TV commercials last time I heard on litter.
On litter?
Yeah, we want a clean Mississippi. But, I mean, it's just so... Oh, and Trent Lott is running re-election for... Well, I decided to run again because I thought I'd help on this hurricane recovery. He's not going to help. He's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just, it is just so unbelievable. The bills are higher. Everything is just so screwed up from these people. And if there's anything people can do, what I suggest, one thing, is Randy Rhoads has his Change for Change thing, working with Habitat for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Put your change in there. You can get it on Randy's website. I hope you don't mind me saying that. But
oh, hell no. No, this is my colleague? No, say what you want to, Herb.
Okay, but I love that idea, and I hope that people will take their loose change and go to Randy's site and donate this and help Habitat build people in Louisiana and Mississippi and portions of Alabama homes, because it's not getting done any other way.
But I thought George Bush had authorized, what, $6 billion, $8 billion, $10 billion? Where's the money?
Well, now, Brown and Root is heavy in the area, and I understand Blackwater is, too.
Oh, I see.
So
it's anarchy and chaos and crime and all sponsored and supported by the Bush crime family, apparently. I mean, that's what it sounds like, Herb.
Well, Mike, I'm going to let you go, but I just wanted to say that, and I appreciate you letting me get that out. Because I think it's important that the people know what's going on down here.
Well, thanks, Herb. I appreciate you calling. Take it easy.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. When Bush has those little meetings when he goes to the Mississippi Gulf Coast or Louisiana Gulf Coast, and he has those little meetings and gets together with folk, I wonder why he doesn't ever get together with somebody like Herb or Herb's sister. Ah, yeah. Herb can't pay the cover charge. That's right. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again. Glad you're back on the air.
Thank you.
We had a military funeral here in town today, and some of Fred Phelps' brainless minions showed up.
Oh, my God.
And there's only three of them, and they were outnumbered by about 400 veterans on
bikes.
Motorcycles, and we just revved our engines to drown them out.
I don't understand Fred Phelps. He is obviously insane. His family, his whole Westboro Baptist Church, I think, consists of nothing but family members. I think he's had sex with his daughters, and that's where some of those sons come from. I think his wife has had sex with her brothers, and that's where some of the other members of this Westboro Baptist Church clan come from. I mean, that's what they look like to me. I don't know if they've been boinking each other or not, but they damn sure look like it. And there they stand with their anti-gay hatred, their fags burn in hell type signs. And, you know, every time I see that snippling bastard, I just think to myself, well, Fred, in the first place, there is no hell. But in the second place, you know, what must it be like for these people to be an incestuous little group like this who claim to be a church, claim to be, to some degree, followers of the Christian Messiah? And I don't know, all of them incestuous, evil carbuncles that just show up at these funerals now. It's astonishing.
Well, the church where the funeral was at was 200 yards away from the river, and we've contemplated chasing them down to the river with sticks and stones.
Like chasing the devil. Thanks, Will. I got to leave it there, all right? Stay with us, Truth Seekers. Our reading from 1984 continues next hour. And we'll get into Karl Rove's latest wedge-ish issue, that it's so old, it's new again, and that, of course, is about illegal immigration. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at Geico.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser.
Despite the objections of conservative Republicans, several GOP members of the Senate Judiciary Committee joined Democrats to approve a version of immigration reform late Monday that would create a guest worker program and at least the chance of citizenship for millions of illegal immigrants. President Bush supports the guest worker efforts. Conservatives like Arizona Senator John Kyle object to allowing undocumented workers to remain without seeking reentry, telling the hearing you do not have to make them citizens. Thousands of students in the Los Angeles area cut classes Monday and took to the streets to protest against immigration reform legislation. L.A. Unified School District spokesperson Olga Quinones says more than 22,000 students were involved in the greater Los Angeles area.
Today we're looking at approximately 61 LAUSD schools that were affected by today's student walkouts. We're looking at approximately 22,000 students. We have had reports of other school districts also being impacted.
At one point, several hundred of the protesters took their march onto the harbor and Hollywood freeways near downtown L.A. The California Highway Patrol was eventually able to get them off the freeways and back onto surface streets. Against the advice of his attorneys, Zacharias Moussaoui took to the stand in his death penalty hearing Monday in Alexandria, Virginia. He declared that he was actually supposed to pilot a fifth hijacked plane in 2001, and his mission was to fly it into the White House. Moussaoui says his crew was to include Richard Reed, the so-called shoe bomber arrested on a flight from Paris to Miami in December of 2001. A Boston woman who lost her mother in the terror attack says it's hard to know whether to believe Moussaoui's testimony about his role in the alleged plot to fly a fifth plane. Carrie Lamack says Moussaoui contradicted himself.
It's chilling that he confessed as a 20th hijacker because he found it amusing, and it almost seemed as if his testimony was because he was amusing himself.
The government has called for his execution for concealing details that may have prevented the attacks. Alabama Governor Riley is back from a four-day trip to the Middle East where he visited Alabama National Guard and active duty troops. Riley says morale is good and confidence in the mission is high.
They're proud of what they're doing. They understand their mission over there.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. The demonstrations over the past few days by people who don't want to be considered illegal simply because they're here for a job, I think makes a point. And the first point it makes to me is that it takes persistence. These demonstrations have been without let up all over the country. The other thing that has been kind of stunning to me is the media coverage. The fact that hundreds of thousands of people protest Bush's illegal war a few years ago, a little over 3 years ago, and media paid very little attention. But now, with people who are here legally, illegally, whatever, massive coverage. You know, what's up with that? What's up with that? Is this another some kind of a scam going on here? I'm not saying that the protesters are part of the scam, but are they being scammed? You know, I don't know anymore. This is insane. It's insane to live in the United States during the age of George W. Bush and have a brain and try to use it. You know, try to make it function with any sort of regularity. Trying to figure out, okay, is that real or is that not real? Okay, was this fed to the press? Is this a real reporter? Is that a real story? Is this demonstration real? Are the phones wiretapped? What about these camps? The idea here, I think, is to get all of us so paranoid and confused that we just stop thinking. Not me. Not you. Mm-mm. Bush being interested in so-called guest workers is about the same as my being interested in a brain tumor. He doesn't give a tinker's damn. Guest worker? What the hell is a guest worker? You know, the irony of this to me is that Texas, what we call Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, what else? That was once part of Mexico. You know, it was, what, northern Mexico? I don't know. It was Mexico until, what, 1848? Is that when all the lies and the BS about the Alamo and Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone and, you know, the Texas dudes and General Santa Anna and yadda, 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 yadda. Jesus, can't we ever be honest about our own history? Ever, ever, ever be honest about our own history. So here the Mexicans, and they're mostly Mexicans, are now being threatened with jail for going to a patches of ground that used to be theirs to begin with. To get jobs that are there as a result of Bush 1 and Bill Clinton and Bush 2 jamming NAFTA down the throats of workers in the Western Hemisphere, at least the northern part of the Western Hemisphere. That, you know, there it is. And this crap about, oh, they're taking American jobs. No, they're not. No, they're not. Why are these illegal immigrants, to use the term that what's his name? Dobbs Lou Dobbs on CNN loves to use. Where are those jobs coming from? It's not that they're taking American jobs. Americans will go to work if there's a living wage. If there's a wage, look, American workers, if they don't have mortgages, they have rent to pay. They've got car payments. If they got lousy credit, they're paying 18% interest on their car note. They've got credit cards. They've got medical bills. So you expect them to go to work for $5.25 an hour? Get real! But an immigrant will come to this country knowing that he or she is here to work. They'll live 20 to a house, just like you would, just like I would, if it were a matter of survival. And they'll go to work for $3 an hour. And they'll send the money back to their home villages. And it makes a difference. These aren't American jobs these folks are taking. These are American jobs that employers, whether they're corporations or small businesses, are jerking the prices down where they know an American can't take the job. And they know that an immigrant, with or without proper documentation, will take the job. Because $3 an hour, or $4 an hour, or $6 an hour, in an industry that should be paying $8, $12, $14 an hour, that's money that these workers need. And since they're not paying, probably, on a MasterCard or a Visa, or living beyond their means, hell, they're just trying to live, they'll take the job. And then the demagogues, the right-wingers, and some of the Democrats get out there. Although I've got to give credit to Feinstein, what was it, Feinstein and Durbin, and these amendments that were added to this filthy, filthy piece of legislation that this psychotic Sensenbrenner suggested. You know, the amendments that were added that said, okay, the Catholic Church, the priests won't be held responsible if they follow the teachings of Jesus and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, tend to the sick, provide a glass of water to somebody of thirst. These filthy, filthy Republicans wanted to make that a crime. It's astonishing.
Well, the bad news about that is, of course, at the very end, and that was the Durbin Amendment, by the way, but at the very end, they did go ahead and pass in the Judiciary Committee Bush's guest worker program provisions. So
now that, I believe, means they can be here for 5 years, but there's no route to getting citizenship. This is what the sons of bitches do. This is why people rise up against capitalism. The predatory, hateful, anti-family, anti-life nature, the pro-death nature of capitalism. This is why every once in a while people rise up and say, damn, there's got to be a more humane way to live my life. Now, those of you who have been educated, go back and read Henry David Thoreau. Go back and read it. I know you read it in high school, or maybe in your freshman college English class. It didn't mean a damn thing then. Go back and read it now. It's unbelievable. Bush and these business vampires, and the Republican, the right wing, and what's up with these vigilante, these militia groups? Well, this, you know, you pigs can't put on your white hoods anymore and get your lynch ropes and drag people behind pickup trucks, right? So you do this. What are you doing? You don't want the brown people here, you lying bastards, and you know that's what you're about. A job? You don't give a tinker's damn about the job. And what do these so-called illegal immigrants do? They show up. What do? They show up armed and go to these pickup points. And when somebody shows up in a pickup truck, they pull a gun and say, pull me in your truck and give me a job or I'll kill you. I don't think so. Bush and his guest worker program. Ah, you phony bastard. It's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable, isn't it? It never stops. One thing after another. People coming here, like, you know, let's go to the Statue of Liberty with a sandblaster and get that filthy lie that Emma Lazarus said. Get it off the statue. It doesn't belong there anymore. It doesn't belong there. It doesn't say, come here and get your citizenship. It says, send me your poor, your tired, your hungry masses yearning to be free. Get it off there. That's not America anymore.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
This is not automatic citizenship. If somebody who is here working wants to be a citizen, they can get in line like those who have been here legally and have been working to become a citizenship in a legal manner.
Oh, Jesus. It'd be funny, wouldn't it? I guess Jack the Ripper or Ted Bundy said funny things. at various times in their sick, perverted lives, right? So it's another wedge issue, you know. Abortion became a wedge issue. What else became a gay marriage became a wedge issue.
Terri Schiavo became a wedge issue.
Right. So this is the latest, the immigration thing. See, all the TV reporters now, with their asses all red from being whipped into line by the Rove machine, are all reporting on massive demonstrations. You know, show all those people out there who are doing what? Threatening white folks? Is that the purpose of those pictures? Oh, my God! Look here, Teresa! The Mexicans are coming! Jesus! God, let me vote for a Republican! They'll have them all killed! So here's another wedge issue. This is for the Christians. This is to motivate the Christians to get them to... You know, I'm being facetious here. I've got massive quotes around the word Christians. This is to get the fake Christians, Bush's base, the ones who love little masses of cells all wrapped up in a bloody uterus. Ow, we love them when it's inside all that muck. We just love them. Ew, look. Looks like a frog, doesn't it? We love them, little old bastards. Don't we love them? God, I'd like to spread three or four of them on toast and eat them. I love them so much. You know, get those ones to go out and vote. This time, it's immigration. Here come the Mexicans. Oh, Jesus, they're going to be opening taquerias, Taco Bell or whatever, you know, stands and selling that funky food. Smells like corn. Jesus, our whole city smells like burned corn. And beans. Another Karl Rove issue. There it is. Rise to the occasion, Republicans. Save America. The immigrants are coming. Where did Karl Rove's father come from? Nazi Germany, didn't he? Wasn't he a Nazi? Wasn't Rove's old man or his grandfather a part of the German command or something? I don't know. Let's go back to the calls here. Steve, who's calling from Massachusetts. Steve, welcome to the program. Hey, Steve.
No, I don't think a thing is going to change about any of this. I just think it's, you know, part of the, I don't know, I missed a lot of your program, but maybe somebody touched on this, but I just think it's the country club crowd is just wants to get native-born labor in this country to live 20 to a room and accept $3, $4, and $5 an hour.
I think so, yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it.
Wages, they've made really successful inroads for 20, 25 years. I think it's really interesting. It reminds me of when we saw the Ukrainians object to their fiddled with electoral process a couple of years ago and put us to shame. It's really interesting that the so-called La Raza
right.
showed their strength or in unity in the streets and kind of... put to shame, you know, and I'm not trying to characterize those people as alien or anything or having less rights or anything. I'm just saying it's, I'm just wondering when we're going to get 500,000 people out in the streets about, just 500,000 everything Americans out in the streets about a war that only working class people serve in and $11 trillion in tax cuts for the country club set.
Yeah, I wonder too.
When the hell is it going to happen?
I don't know, Steve. Probably never, because apparently white Americans and black Americans are just not motivated. We're just content to continue to have this murderous crime family kick our ass, lie to us, take us into wars, destroy our country, destroy our economy. I don't get it. Steve, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks for your comments. Yeah, you want to stop this so-called illegal immigration? You'll never stop it. I mean, people come here. This is America. You know, the image of America is still out there, even though that image has been horribly corrupted. when it's a matter, so, you know, just remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Food, shelter, clothing. People come here because there's jobs. You want to stop the immigration? You want to rescue all these American jobs that our little brown brothers from south of the border are taking from us hardworking Americans? You really want to stop it? I'll tell you the quickest way to stop it. Make the minimum wage in this country $12 an hour. Okay? And boom, problem solved.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
We'll be right back.
26 before the hour. Boy, it seems like a long time since we've done this. We are in Chapter 15 of George Orwell's book, 1984. We've gotten to the point where Julia and Winston Smith have really developed this this relationship. You get the sense that Julia might be in it more for the sex. Oh, no, maybe that's Winston. I don't know. But they are flirting with disaster for sure. Winston had woken up with his eyes full of tears. Julia rolled sleepily against him, murmuring something that might have been...
What's the matter?
I dreamt, he began, and stopped short. It was too complex to be put into words. There was the dream itself, and there was a memory connected with it that had swum into his mind in the few seconds after waking. He lay back with his eyes shut, still sodden in the atmosphere of the dream. It was a vast, luminous dream in which his whole life seemed to stretch out before him like a landscape on a summer evening after rain. It had all occurred inside the glass paperweight, but the surface of the glass was the dome of the sky, and inside the dome everything was flooded with clear, soft light in which one could see into interminable distances. The dream had also been comprehended by, indeed in some sense it had consisted in, a gesture of the arm made by his mother and made again 30 years later by the Jewish woman he had seen on the news film, trying to shelter the small boy from the bullets before the helicopter blew them both to pieces. "Do you know," he said, "that until this moment I believed I had murdered my mother?"
"Why'd you murder her?"
said Julia, almost asleep. I didn't murder her, not physically." In the dream, he had remembered his last glimpse of his mother, and within a few moments of waking, the cluster of small events surrounding it had all come back. It was a memory that he must have deliberately pushed out of his consciousness over many years. He was not certain of the date, but he could not have been less than 10 years old, possibly 12, when it had happened. His father had disappeared sometime earlier. How much earlier, he could not remember. He remembered better the rackety, uneasy circumstances of the time. The periodical panics about air raids in the sheltering and tube stations, the piles of rubble everywhere, the unintelligible proclamations posted at street corners, the gangs of youths in shirts all the same color, the enormous queues outside the bakeries, the intermittent machine gun fire in the distance, above all the fact that there was never enough to eat. He remembered long afternoons spent with other boys in scrounging round dustbins and rubbish heaps, picking out the ribs of cabbage leaves, potato peelings, sometimes even scraps of stale bread crust from which they carefully scraped away the cinders, and also in waiting for the passing of trucks which traveled over a certain route and were known to carry cattle feed, and which, when they jolted over the bad patches in the road, sometimes spilt a few fragments of oil cake. When his father disappeared, his mother did not show any surprise or any violent grief, but a sudden change came over her. She seemed to have become completely spiritless. It was evident even to Winston that she was waiting for something that she knew must happen. She did everything that was needed, cooked, washed, mended, made the bed, swept the floor, dusted the mantelpiece, always very slowly, and with a curious lack of superfluous motion, like an artist's lay figure moving of its own accord. Her large, shapely body seemed to relapse naturally into stillness. For hours at a time, she would sit almost immobile on the bed, nursing his young sister, a tiny, ailing, very silent child of 2 or 3, with a face made simian by thinness. Very occasionally, she would take Winston in her arms and press him against her for a long time without saying anything. He was aware, in spite of his youthfulness and selfishness, that this was somehow connected with the never-mentioned thing that was about to happen. He remembered the room where they lived, a dark, close-smelling room that seemed half-filled by a bed with a white counterpane. There was a gas ring in the fender and a shelf where food was kept, and on the landing outside there was a brown earthenware sink, common to several rooms. He remembered his mother's statuesque body bending over the gas ring to stir at something in a saucepan. Above all, he remembered his continuous hunger and the fierce, sordid battles at mealtimes. He would ask his mother naggingly over and over again why there was not more food. He would shout and storm at her. He even remembered the tones of his voice, which was beginning to break prematurely and sometimes boomed in a peculiar way. Or he would attempt a sniveling note of pathos in his efforts to get more than his share. His mother was quite ready to give him more than his share. She took it for granted that he, the boy, should have the biggest portion. But however much she gave him, he invariably demanded more. At every meal, she would beseech him not to be selfish, and to remember that his little sister was sick and also needed food, but it was no use. He would cry out with rage when she stopped ladling. He would try to wrench the saucepan and spoon out of her hands. He would grab bits from his sister's plate. He knew that he was starving the other two, but he couldn't help it. He even felt that he had a right to do it. The clamorous hunger in his belly seemed to justify him. Between meals, if his mother did not stand guard, he was constantly pilfering at the wretched store of food on the shelf. One day, a chocolate ration was issued. There had been no such issue for weeks or months past. He remembered quite clearly that precious little morsel of chocolate. It was a 2-ounce slab. They still talked about ounces in those days. Between the three of them. It was obvious that it ought to be divided into three equal parts. Suddenly, as though he were listening to somebody else, Winston heard himself demanding in a loud, booming voice that he should be given the whole piece. His mother told him not to be greedy. There was a long, nagging argument that went round and round, the shouts, whines, tears, bargainings. His tiny sister, clinging to her mother with both hands, exactly like a baby monkey, sat looking over her shoulder at him with large, mournful eyes. In the end, his mother broke off 3/4 of the chocolate and gave it to Winston, giving the other quarter to his sister. The little girl took hold of it and looked at it dully, perhaps not knowing what it was. Winston stood watching her for a moment. Then with a sudden, swift spring, he had snatched the piece of chocolate out of his sister's hand and was fleeing for the door. "Winston! Winston!" his mother called after him. "Come back! Give your sister back her chocolate!" He stopped, but did not come back. His mother's anxious eyes were fixed on his face. Even now he was thinking about the thing. He did not know what it was that was on the point of happening. His sister, conscious of having been robbed of something, had set up a feeble wail. His mother drew her arm round the child and pressed its face against her breast. Something in the gesture told him that his sister was dying. He turned and fled down the stairs with the chocolate growing sticky in his hand. He never saw his mother again. After he had devoured the chocolate, he felt somewhat ashamed of himself and hung about in the streets for several hours until hunger drove him home. When he came back, his mother had disappeared. This was already becoming normal at that time. Nothing was gone from the room except his mother and his sister. They had not taken any clothes, not even his mother's overcoat. To this day, he did not know with any certainty that his mother was dead. It was perfectly possible that she had been merely sent to a forced labor camp. As for his sister, she might have been removed, like Winston himself, to one of the colonies for homeless children, reclamation centers they were called, which had grown up as a result of the Civil War, or she might have been sent to the labor camp along with his mother, or simply left somewhere or other to die. The dream was still vivid in his mind, especially the enveloping, protecting gesture of the arm in which its whole meaning seemed to be contained. His mind went back to another dream of 2 months ago, exactly as his mother had sat on the dingy white-quilted bed with the child clinging to her. So she had sat in the sunken ship, far underneath him and drowning deeper every minute, but still looking up at him through the darkening water. He told Julia the story of his mother's disappearance. Without opening her eyes, she rolled over and settled herself into a more comfortable position.
"I expect you were a beastly little swine in those days,"
she said indistinctly.
"All children are swine."
"Yes, but the real point of the story..." From her breathing, it was evident that she was going off to sleep again. He would have liked to continue talking about his mother. He did not suppose, from what he could remember of her, that she had been an unusual woman. still less an intelligent one. And yet she had possessed a kind of nobility, a kind of purity, simply because the standards that she obeyed were private ones. Her feelings were her own and could not be altered from outside. It would not have occurred to her that an action which is ineffectual thereby becomes meaningless. If you loved someone, you loved him. And when you had nothing else to give, you still gave love.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend. The end of our elaborate plans. The end of everything that stands. The end. No safety, no surprise. The end. I'll never look into your eyes again.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a five-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
Spring is here, and everywhere you look, the colors are in full bloom. Even at your neighborhood Ace Hardware. We have thousands of the trendiest paint colors, and better yet, we can custom match any color you bring in. Hurry into Ace Hardware today for a great deal on Ace Royal Flat Interior Paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal for just $13.99 each after a $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Ace, the helpful place.
immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
Yeah, I'm serious. Go back and read Thoreau. You know, you read it. You've done it. Been there. Done that. Go back and read it again now that you are a fully formed adult. Thanks, as always, to our production staff in New York City. Program is engineered by Justin Yuen and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac. Dee Neal is our associate producer. She handles the calls, among other things. Thanks, Dee. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Jason. Also, the rest of our crew, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. And tomorrow night, Nancy Skinner will be on the program. A lot of you remember her as a talk show host. We worked together in Chicago. She's been on, she was on Air America Station in Detroit until it tanked. Nancy is a candidate for Congress in Michigan, and she'll join us tomorrow night. A real progressive and a friend. So tune in. Nancy Skinner tomorrow night. Alan is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Alan, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. I listen to you as often as I can. And I agree with you about 95% of the way, but there's a few things about the immigration issue. Before I get into that, when you were in town here, I would love to have seen you, but it seems I have to work on two different jobs to make ends meet now.
I hear you.
I guess I'd like to point out there's a right way to get into this country and there's a wrong way. There's a legal and an illegal way.
Right.
And a lot of the people coming up from Mexico are here illegally. And I can understand they're being displaced by CAFTA and NAFTA, and I don't blame anyone for trying to find a better life for themselves.
Right.
But in a sense, okay, here in Madison, wages have been stagnant for virtually 15 years. Businesses are closing. All the working class people are being pushed out of town.
But you've just identified the problem. You see, don't confuse cause and effect. The reason immigrants come to this country without the proper documentation is because of what you just said. Wages have stagnated in Madison, for example.
Well, pretty much because that they can exploit these people from south of the border at the expense of legitimate Americans.
I mean. Okay. Sure,
and
of course.
I feel sorry for them, but, I mean,
well,
your life. I mean,
well, but the immigrants aren't affecting anyone's life.
Well, take my brother, for instance. He applied for a job to be a custodial supervisor.
Right.
And was turned down for only one reason. His Spanish was not good enough. And I hate to sound like a redneck, but here in America, we do speak English. I mean,
why did they want his Spanish to be at a certain level?
I beg your pardon?
You say he was turned down because his Spanish wasn't good enough?
His Spanish wasn't good enough.
Well, what kind of a job was he applying for? Spanish is a requirement.
A custodial supervisor.
Okay, that I don't know what that means. The custodial supervisor where? In Mexico?
Here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, but... okay. Why does he need to speak Spanish?
That's what I don't understand, because people in this country should speak English.
Okay, well, I'm not clear on that. Are you saying then that an illegal immigrant got his job?
Quite probably.
Let's not go there. You're using this as an example, so therefore I'm assuming that what you're saying is that an illegal immigrant then got the job that your brother applied for. If that's not the case, then what is your statement about?
Well, I just feel that it's easy to be liberal when it doesn't affect your life. For instance, there's a lot of IT people. Well, they're all nice and liberal until their job gets outsourced to India. And when it hits you in your face, in your life, it's kind of hard to ignore it.
Well, I don't think this is a matter of liberal or conservative. I'm still trying to figure out what you mean, Alan, that your brother couldn't speak Spanish adequately and therefore was not hired for a job as a custodial supervisor. Is that because the people he would be supervising spoke Spanish?
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's all I was asking. I'm just trying to figure out why your brother needed to speak Spanish. Now I understand why.
Reverse discrimination.
But you're assuming, and no, it's not reverse discrimination, it's a job requirement. But you're assuming that your brother then, who didn't get the job, that job went to an illegal immigrant. That's what you want me to believe.
I'm not certain of that.
Okay, how about a white Protestant Anglo Madisonite who spoke better Spanish than your brother? Maybe he got the job.
It's possible.
Okay.
But my point is,
your point is just collapsed. You have no point.
My point is, this is America. I mean,
oh, okay. All right.
Well, our main language is English, and it should not, a person should not be turned down for a job in these United States of America simply because they don't speak a foreign language.
Maybe you need to travel a little bit.
I would love to, but I can't afford to. I'm so busy working.
Okay, but when you say that this is America and English should be the dominant language, okay, I don't disagree with you. But if a job requirement says you've got to be proficient in Arabic or Spanish, or you've got to be able to know how to work a certain piece of equipment, that's fair. That's valid. That's a job requirement. That has nothing to do with... I understand your position, and I just think it's wrong. But I have to leave it there. Alan, I hope you call again. Thanks a lot. We got to go. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for participating. However you did that, I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
This is the American Prospect Minute. Get your monthly dose of liberal intelligence on newsstands now.
Ricky, you've got some splaining to do.
In the March issue of the American Prospect, writer Will Bunch exposes oddities in Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum's finances, both personal and professional. First, there was the mortgage from a private bank that only caters to high-end clients, despite, as he said, living paycheck to paycheck. Then there's the fast food and Starbucks charged to his leadership PAC. Find out why Rick Santorum's press secretary said this is a liberal magazine with an obvious bias against Rick Santorum. Also in the American Prospect this month, E.J. Graff details how the pro-gay marriage network is getting ready to play hardball, and Robert Kuttner explains the Democratic windfall that is Bush's botched prescription drug plan. Plus, we're introduced to new House Majority Leader John Boehner, who is really different from Tom DeLay. Yeah, really, but not really. Get your monthly dose of liberal intelligence from the American Prospect by calling 1-888-MUST-READ or online at www.prospect.org. That's 888-MUST-READ or prospect.org. The American Prospect on newsstands now.